Well, good evening to you on this 31st of January, 2024. Tonight's lesson is called Obstacles to Sanctification, Part 3. You know, as we discovered last week, how Satan will fight against your receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. And now that you've been born again and have been adopted into the family of God, and he will do everything now in his power to keep you from becoming all that you can be in Jesus Christ, and from walking in all the promises, all the blessings, all the power, authority, and the fulfillment that is yours as a child of God. In short, Satan will introduce into your life every obstacle that he can to keep you from becoming progressively stronger in the Lord and in the power of his might. And again, we are reminded of the warfare that rages. And it originating in the realm of the unseen reality, but is manifested in the realm of the seen reality. Again, in Colossians 1, chapter 1, verse 16, says, "For by him," that's Jesus, "were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they are thrones, or dominions, or principalities, or powers. All things were created him, for him, by him, and for him." So, I know I've been banging on this for weeks now, and harping on this for weeks, but as part of the sanctification process, you have to understand that Satan does not want you to grow close to the Lord. Neither does he want you to be powerful, because when you do that, then you can wreak havoc and damage upon his kingdom. And you can rage war against his kingdom. And that is done through the word, through prayer, through you knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. So again, let us recall the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, in which he assured us that we can be free. In John 8:32, he tells us, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:36 tells us, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Another reminder that we are in this spiritual warfare with an unseen enemy in an unseen reality is found in 2 Timothy 2:3. Look at that. 2 Timothy 2:3. That tells us, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." So why would Jesus tell us to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ if it were not that we were in a warfare or in a battle? Make no mistake about it. Satan is going to do everything that he can to keep you from becoming strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, as we are instructed to do by God's word. If you recall, we looked at Ephesians 6:10, says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." You cannot be strong in the Lord and the power of his might with ongoing sin in the life. Blocks your prayer power. Ephesians 6:11, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." In our last lesson, you were given steps to becoming strong in the Lord. Now, we want to examine the armor that's available to us. It's provided to each believer that they might be victorious in this spiritual warfare that we are in. The whole armor of God. To look at the whole armor of God, we need to look at Ephesians chapter 6, starting with verse 14 through 17. Let's read that. I'm going to back up and start reading in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, and we'll go on through to 17. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the day of evil, and having done all to stand." Verse 14. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." Verse 15. "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Verse 16. "Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Verse 17. "And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." This verse 14 Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. So this girdle of truth, you might say, it's like a girdle that you put it on around and hangs on to your hips. And from that girdle of truth, everything else attaches to this breastplate of righteousness. And there is no place in the life of the believer for lying, deceit, or deception of any kind. That's that girdle of truth you have to put on. You have to be truthful with yourself, truthful with others, truthful with God. There can be no place in the life of the believer for lying, deceit, or deception of any kind. Remember, this is the armor of God we're talking about. If you have deception in the life, you're lying, deceiving of any sort, then you will lose in the battle because you're not coming in truth. You got to have that girdle of truth about you, about your loins, and gird it. You gird oneself with this girdle to equip oneself with the knowledge of the truth. Then second is this breastplate of righteousness. That breastplate of righteousness guards your heart against ungodly emotions, desires, and temptations of the evil one. Take note here at all of this armor and you'll find that there is no protection for the back because no one turns their back on the enemy. When you do that, you're setting yourself up for slaughter. So this breastplate of righteousness attached to the girdle of truth, and it guards the heart against ungodly emotions, desires, and temptations by the evil one. Let's look at verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Peace, the tranquil state of a soul, assured of its salvation through Christ. So fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot of whatever sort it is. In other words, you're at peace with wherever God has you and whatever God has given you. And you're content with all of this stuff, this earthly lot of whatever God has given. You're not looking at someone else's lot, but you're happy and content. You have the gospel of feet. Your feet are shod with that gospel of peace. As a believer, you will walk through some very rough times, and you need a sound footing designed to give you that footing that you need whatever the circumstances are. In other words, that sound footing, it can be obtained only by knowing the Word of God, knowing who you are in Christ Jesus, and in your submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. This will give you that sound footing that you need to face whatever circumstances may come to you in your life. Because you know the Word of God, you know who you are in Christ Jesus, and in your submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life, you can have peace. Although the whole world may be swirling in a storm around about you, you can have that peace because you know who you are in God. You know who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know the Word of God, and your life is in submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation. And take this helmet of salvation. Remember, the battle that we are fighting in this spiritual warfare is for the will. And this battle is waged against the mind, the thought life. But by wearing the helmet of salvation, that is the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is and what he has done for you, will help you guard your mind and will help you bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, as stated in 2 Corinthians 10:5. So the battle is for your will to get you to exercise your will to sin. And that battle starts in the mind. That's why part of your armor is this helmet of salvation, because by wearing this helmet of salvation, that's your knowledge of Jesus Christ, who he is, and what he's done for you. It will help you against those fiery darts that Satan will throw against you, against your mind, to try to get you to start thinking about things that you shouldn't be thinking about. And once you engage in the thought process, then it will work its way down into your emotions, and you will act on your emotions, therefore exercising your will to act. That's the game Satan plays. That's his warfare. So that's why it's so important that we learn how to control those thoughts that's coming in to our mind and put on his helmet of salvation. Let's look at the next one. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, it is written, was a reply that Jesus himself made to every suggestion and every temptation that Satan brought to him. When he was in his wilderness temptation, as recorded in Luke 4:1-13, Satan cannot stand against the Word of God. When you use the Word of God, i.e. the sword of the Spirit, against his suggestions to the mind, he loses. He cannot stand against the Word of God. Remember, this is a warfare that we are engaged in, and it's a spiritual warfare. Let's look at how Jesus handled that in Luke 4:1-13. Verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. This is describing right after Jesus Christ had been baptized by John the Baptist, and the Holy Ghost descended out of heaven like the form of a dove and lighted upon him. In verse 1 of Luke, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days, he did not eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Did you catch that, folks? Jesus responded as, it is written. That's why we need to know and understand the Word of God, because we can use this Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, against Satan, against the temptations. If Jesus used the Word of God, then how much more should we be using the Word of God? Verse 5, and the devil, taking him up unto a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomever I will give it. And you may say, well, Brother Gene, Satan had this power to do this? Yes, he did. Why? Because when Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden, it's like the deed to this creation that God created was signed over to Satan, because he came the God of this world now. The devil said, verse 6, unto him, all of this power will I give thee, and the glory of them that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, and shall, all of this shall be thine. Kind of ironic, isn't it? The God who created this world is now being tempted by his creation. His creation is telling the Creator, hey, if you will just do this, I can give you all of this if you would just worship me. So when the fall of mankind in that Garden of Eden, it affected more than just Adam and Eve. Sin was opened up to spread throughout all the world, one generation, one person at a time, passed on and on until today. And the title deed of the earth given over to Satan to operate how he may want to on this earth. But one day, when Christ returns, he will take back that title deed. But here we find, go on to verse 8. Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Again, we find Jesus Christ is using the Word of God against Satan. Verse 9, and he, that was Satan, brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. It's often thought that maybe Satan didn't know for sure that this was Jesus Christ or the Son of God. So he's trying to tempt him, trying to get him to give in to his suggestions. Verse 10, for it's written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. Did you catch that, folks? Satan is quoting scripture to Jesus, who is the Word. So do you better understand how much more you need to know what the Word says so you can use the Word against those that are tempting you? If Satan knows the Word and he will try to use it against you, you better know the Word of God. So when he does come against you, or his demons come against you, quoting scripture, you better know what the scriptures say. Verse 11, "And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Back up to 10 again. Let's read to 10 to 11 again. "For it is written," now this was Satan talking to Jesus, "for it is written, he," that's a capital H there, meaning God, "shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee." Satan is telling him, hey, God has said that he would give his angels charge over you to keep you. Verse 11, "And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou shalt doubt thy foot against a stone." In other words, he's quoting scripture to Jesus, saying God has said that he's going to give angels to keep charge over you in such a way that they will bear you up in their hands, and lest that you should even dash your foot against a stone. And look what Jesus says in verse 12. "And Jesus answered and said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Jesus is God. And here Satan is tempting God. Jesus is God in the flesh. Verse 13. "And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season." Don't let that skip you either. For a season. So you're going to go through a barrage of temptations by Satan. It's going to happen. And if you're successful in using the Word of God against him and his demons and unclean spirits, he will leave you for a season. For a season. So what does that mean? Well, if he leaves for a season, he's going to come back. And if you've been a Christian long enough, born again, living a life for Jesus Christ, you know that is the case. You get the victory here, you get the victory there, and you say, all right, man, I got it now. And then the next thing you know, here he hits you with a suggestion from an entirely different area. He's going to come back, he's going to continue. It will happen till the day you die, child of God. That's called the sanctification process. And until you get victory over those areas in your life that are strongholds or areas that give you problems, it's an ongoing battle in that area. And don't think for once that, hey, I've got victory over this, I don't have no problem here no more. Be careful. He will be back at you and hit you with another area in the same area at a different angle. So you can see this sword of the Spirit. This sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, which Jesus himself used against Satan. Satan cannot stand against the Word of God. When you use the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, against his suggestions to the mind, he loses. Remember, it's a warfare that we are engaged in, and it's a spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6:12 tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Make no mistake, it's hand-to-hand combat in a sense, as the forces in the kingdom of darkness contend with the inhabitants of the kingdom of light, trying to discourage us, trying to defeat us, and trying to defeat us in our process of sanctification to be like Christ. So you wonder why I've been hounding you on this for the past several weeks, because it's so important, folks, and it's very important. And many times, this is where the child of God eases off. He's won the victory and eases off, and then the next thing you know, he's entertaining these thoughts that Satan has come with him, and he has forgot that I'm to take every thought captive, until he finds himself in trouble, and sin has encamped the temple of God, your body. Some of the obstacles that you probably face, they may be very evident. Some may not be so evident. For example, you may be faced with some of these following things. Family consideration. What will they say or think of me as a believer? Your professional occupation consideration. What will they think or say about me as a believer? How about your friends? What will they say or think about me as a believer? You will have to discipline yourself to spend time in the Word of God. Spend time in prayer to become strong in the Lord. Satan will resist you. He will resist your efforts in this regard because he does not want you to be in the Word of God. And he does not want you to be in prayer because he knows if you're in the Word of God, you're going to become stronger and stronger because you're going to know what God's Word says. He don't want you to be in prayer because he knows prayer moves the hand of God. So he's going to do everything that he can to throw obstacles your way to prevent you from doing that. He will try to introduce or reintroduce past habits, strongholds in the life, such as lying, deceit, alcohol addiction, drug addiction, pornography, lust, sexual perversion, pride, anger, all of that. So, with all of that in mind, what valuable lesson do you learn from Ephesians? We're going to look at some of these scriptures that we just covered, but what valuable lessons did you learn from Ephesians 6:10? Well, we know that we cannot win the spiritual battle that we are involved with in our own strength. It just can't happen, folks. You must win it by being strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And we discussed, how do you do that? How about Ephesians 6:11? What did you get out of that? The wiles of the devil. Those are strategies, plans, schemes, people, circumstances, habits that Satan will try to use in your life to hinder your sanctification. So what are some of these that's in your life? And this is personal to you. I can't answer that, but I'm sure if you take count or look at your life, you know, without having to think about it, what some of these areas that Satan is using against you to prevent you from becoming strong in the Lord and the power of His might. As we continue to review here, Ephesians 6:12, how did that speak to you? Ephesians 6:12 reveals that we are involved in this spiritual conflict, and it's with demonic powers of different strengths and positionings in the unseen realm of reality. Now, most of you may stop and think and said, he is talking about battling with demons and unclean spirits. I don't want nothing to do with that. Oh, no, I don't want nothing to do with none of that. Folks, you're already involved with that. You can run or you can fight the battle, because whether you want to be involved with that or not, you are involved with that. You are involved with demons and unclean spirits influencing you, your thought processes, and everything daily. So come to the realization of the truth of the Word of God and get into the battlefield. Ephesians 6:13 should have revealed to you that we must utilize every single piece of armor that God has made available to us. Otherwise, we're going to suffer loss. Ephesians 6:14 spoke of two pieces of armor. Remember, we talked about the girdle of truth. There's no place in the life of the believer for lying, deceit, deception of any kind. There's no place for it. There's no such thing as a little white lie. A lie is a lie. Don't try to categorize a lie. No matter how you view small it is, in God's eyes, it is a lie. And there's no place in the life of the believer for lies or deception of any kind. The other item we looked at was a breastplate of righteousness, which guards the heart against ungodly emotions and desires and temptations of the evil one. And we noted that there is no protection for the back. No one turns their back and runs away from the enemy. You run toward the enemy and fight the battle. This breastplate of righteousness, many people, many God's people, so many times live by their emotions. And that will get you in trouble every time. Emotions are feelings. Emotions can be stirred up by thoughts. Thoughts that come from Satan. Thoughts that work down into the emotions of an individual. It may be something Satan has suggested to you by your eyes or heard. And then the thoughts start. and then your emotions start going. Don't live by your emotions, folks. Don't live by emotions. Emotions will steer you away from the truth of the Word of God, because you start relying on humanity and feelings rather than what does the Word of God says. You can't use emotions to fight the battle against Satan. You have to use the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Ephesians 6:15 talks about the spiritual footwear. Having your feet shod with the gospel of peace, as a believer, you will walk through some very rough places. It's understood. And we will need sound footing designed to give us that footing that we need to whatever circumstances we may be facing. That sound footing can only be obtained, as we discussed, by knowing the Word of God, knowing who you are in Christ Jesus, and submitting to the Lordship of Christ in your life. It may be a storm that is surrounding you, and you're having to walk through some rough places. You may have lost a loved one that you love dearly. And that's when you have to know. Those feet have to be anchored in the Word of God, knowing the Word of God, knowing who you are in Christ Jesus, and submission to the Lord Jesus Christ in your life to help you get through those times that no one wants to face. Yet they're there, folks. You know that. You've lived them. Many of you lived through the loss of loved ones. And had it not been for your knowledge of the Word of God, knowing who you are in Christ Jesus, and submitting your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, it would have wrapped you around the axles to the degree that you could not function. But knowing who you were, who you were able to pull through it. Ephesians 6:16. This spoke of the shield of faith. Above all, taking the shield of faith, trust and confidence in the Word of God, in the promise of God, and in the protection of God, which you cannot do if you have no knowledge of the Word of God. And this shield of faith, Satan is going to throw fiery darts at you. And with faith, this shield of faith, you can just throw it up as those darts come and knock them out of the way. They cannot harm you. Why? Because the faith in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and knowing His Word of God, that Satan cannot penetrate your shield of faith. Ephesians 6:17 speaks to the helmet of salvation. We talked about this. And take the helmet of salvation, because the battle is for the will, and it is waged against your mind, the thought life. But by wearing this helmet of salvation, which is the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is and what He's done for you, will help you guard your mind and will help you in bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, as we saw in 2 Corinthians 10:5. Ephesians 6:17 speaks of the only offensive weapon in your spiritual armor. That's the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. That's your only offensive weapon, folks. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It is written, was a reply that Jesus Himself made to every suggestion, every temptation that was brought to Him in His wilderness temptation. Satan cannot stand against the Word of God. When you use the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, against his suggestions to your mind, he loses every time. Make no mistake about it, dear friend. It is now a hand-to-hand combat, in a sense, as the forces of evil in the kingdom of darkness contend with the inhabitants of the kingdom of light. You are, child of God, in the kingdom of light. Satan is going to try to discourage you and try to defeat you in your walk in this sanctification process throughout your entire life. Some obstacles to sanctification you may want to consider are family considerations. And you may think, well, what are they going to say or think about me? They're going to call me a Jesus freak. They're going to, you know, turn away from me because I'm taking a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Or when they hear me rebuking unclean spirits, what are they going to think? Don't let that become an obstacle to you. Or in your professional occupation, what are they going to think when they see me bow my head and pray over my food? You know, these can be obstacles that would prevent you from becoming sanctified or closer to the Lord. Friendships consideration. What will they say or think? What does it matter? If they refuse their friendship with you, because you choose the Lord Jesus Christ and choose to live a life that is pleasing unto the Lord Jesus Christ, then what kind of friend were they really to start with? Don't let that become an obstacle to your sanctification process. Other obstacles is your failure to spend time in the Word of God, or your failure to be in prayer to become strong in the Lord. Remember, God's Word tells us to become strong in the Lord and the power of His might. So that's a process we need to continue to be about. Past habits, strongholds in the life, such as lying, deceit, alcoholism, drug addiction, pornography, lust, sexual perversion, pride, anger, and the list goes on and on and on. Don't allow those to rear their ugly heads in your life again. Because each time they do, and each time you give in to them, it is harder and harder each time to cleanse and purify yourself of those habits and tearing down those strongholds. It becomes harder each time you give in to it the second time or the third time. And trust me, Satan will be back at you if you had a stronghold of lust or perversion. He'll let you go for a season, but he's going to come back. And if he can get you involved with that again, it's harder the second time around to tear down that stronghold. I'm telling you from experience, folks. I know. So you got to be on guard. Make sure the enemy is not giving you suggestions to your mind that you allowed to come in and you did not take them captive. You got to take those thoughts captive. Well, I just say be blessed as you press on. Victory after victory after victory is yours if you are serious about your walk with God and serious about your sanctification process. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. That is 1 John 4:4. So, in conclusion, you and I cannot, in and of our own strength, win the battle of sanctification. It can only be done as we submit ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our life and become empowered by the Holy Spirit and by wearing the whole armor of God and using the sword of Spirit, which is the Word of God, against every enemy of the cross that comes against our minds, our emotions, our bodies, and our wills. Christ Jesus won the battle at Calvary, and He has made everything that we need to win the battle available to us here on this earth. So, determine in your heart that you are going to press on, press in, walk victoriously. If you fail, if you falter, get back up, dust yourself off, ask God, Holy Spirit, Jesus to forgive you, and get back at it and continue on. Well, folks, that's it for tonight. I hope you have gleaned from these lessons in the past few weeks what it means to be sanctified, what it means to be able to take those thoughts captive. In other words, if we just gave a big overview of what we've just been through in these past 7 weeks, we knew what we were like when we were sinners, then we come born again, and then we find out, well, there's a sanctification process that needs to happen, and this sanctification process will continue on until we die. And during this sanctification process, we are told to take every thought captive and live out this life victoriously, and to be power and strong in His might. And we have to use the Word of God. We have to be in prayer. We have to fight this battle, because we are in the battle whether we want to be or not. So start winning some battles. Start winning some battles for the kingdom of God. Start winning some battles within your own self. Start winning the battles over these strongholds that may be in your life. And understand, demonic working entities, unclean spirits, are all around you at any given time trying to get you to fail. So come to the realization you are in a battle and they are unclean spirits. And yes, a Christian can entertain unclean spirits by giving in to the suggestions of the mind and sinning. That's the bottom line. So what are you going to do with it? It's been Pastor Gene Howard. Let me pray for you. Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm asking to take this word and burn it into the hearts of every individual who heard it today. Lord, take this word, make it real in the life of the believers. God, bring them to the place where they understand that there is power and authority in this word. There is power and authority in the name of Jesus Christ, that they can use this name against all enemies that are coming against the kingdom of God and them, that they have been bought and purchased with your blood, Lord Jesus, and they have the right and the authority in the name, in your name, Jesus, to go to battle on behalf of strongholds in their life, on behalf of these thoughts that come against them, that they may, Father, Lord Jesus, overcome every temptation, every thought. And Father God, give them the strength, the knowledge, and the understanding of your word to go into battle, Father God, and never turn back. So, Father, I bless your people in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, increase them in knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of your word to the degree, the Father God, that they would never back down. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Good night, folks. See you next time.